I mean, the kind of hallelujah that we announce to the devil, devil, you have failed. I'm talking of a prophetic one. The hallelujah that will say to the devil, I will go through this year again. The hallelujah that will say to the angels, that if Jesus tarries, I will be here again next year. You've tried, but there's one more. It's a kind of hallelujah that announces to the heavens that this year I'm not going to weep. Let me hear you shout out hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Just one more hallelujah. Thank you. But this is one that says to God, everything I need to serve you this year will be supplied. Let me hear that hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now I want you to shake hands with two or three people and say Happy New Year. It's going to be well with you. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. And then you may please be seated. God bless you. First Thessalonians chapter 5, from verse 17 to 18. First Thessalonians chapter 5, maybe I should take it from verse 16. Verse 16 says, rejoice evermore. Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Because God is going to answer your prayers this year. And then verse 18 says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. If we are to talk about all the things we should give thanks for, we won't live here today. But I want to be as brief as possible because we really don't need to be preached to on a day like this before we thank God. But some of us might need to be reminded that we should thank God because we are alive. We are alive this morning. If you know everything that the enemy did last year to make sure that you won't see this year, it will amaze you. If you know how many battles God fought for you without you knowing about it at all, it will amaze you. But then, apart from that, one major reason why we should praise God that we are alive today is because according to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 4, Ecclesiastes 9 verse 4, the Bible made it clear, as long as there is life, there is hope. He said, a living dog is better than a dead lion. It doesn't matter the situation you may be in now. One thing is clear. Because you are still breathing, there is hope for you. There is no way they can bury you when you are still breathing. And if they can't bury you, you can still give them a surprise. That's why in Psalm 150 verse 6, Psalm 150 verse 6, the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. There are so many things we take for granted. And one of the most essential things that we just take for granted is breathing. Ability to breathe in, breathe out easily. And if you want to know the importance of the ability to breathe, I want you to remember what happened during the coronavirus epidemic or whatever they call it. The reason that sickness or that disease was so fearsome was that it attacks the ability to breathe. That's why anyone who had that attack, they began to quickly look for oxygen masks, oxygen bottles, so that the very little that is able to take in might keep him alive. But you survived that. For one reason or the other, God did not allow that to attack you. For the ability to breathe, I think you should shout hallelujah. You remember the story of one young man? There was this festival, or whatever they call it, festival there, that they had in Kaduna. And they were returning, and their bus had an accident. Several people died. But there was this young man. He didn't die, but he was so badly injured that he went into a coma. And for days in the hospital, he was in a coma. And once in a while, he will come up and say, Jesus. And then he will relapse again. First day, second day, fifth day, on and on. The doctor saw that this is practically a hopeless case. But they couldn't bury him because he was still breathing. And then one day came and he said, Jesus, and came out of it and suddenly became completely whole. As long as I am still breathing, you can't bury me. So all those who have written you off, all those who say, hey, because not certain things didn't happen last year, hey, there's no hope for you. They are in for a surprise. So if you believe that simply because you are still breathing, your tomorrow is going to be all right. Let me hear you shout hallelujah. Well, maybe some of you will find it difficult to praise God because you are not rich. You are not wealthy. You look at yourself and say, well, I mean, all this, praise God, sir. You are not wealthy. You don't have much. But somehow, throughout last year at least, every day, God provided for you to eat. Matthew chapter 6, from verse 9 to 11, Matthew 6, 9 to 11 says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and so on and so forth. And then he said, give us this day our daily bread. He didn't say, give us this day a lot of food in the house. He said, just make sure that today I have enough to eat. When it is tomorrow, tomorrow will become this day. You know, there are people who have a lot of food and can't eat. And Ecclesiastes chapter 6 verse 2, Ecclesiastes chapter 6 verse 2 says, if there is a man that God has given surplus, but he didn't give him the ability to eat, he said it's a great evil. You may not believe it, but there are some very, very rich people who have problems when it comes to eating. I've told of a friend of mine who was so wealthy that in far away Australia, when he died, he had in the banks there $256 million. I'm talking of those days long ago. But do you know that the only food he could eat was milk? He could only drink milk. There were so many things that had gone wrong with the stomach, he couldn't eat. And I've told you of a friend of mine, for one reason or the other, I just found myself in his house overnight. And then he said, will I wait for breakfast? I said, no problem. At least I want to see how rich people eat. And then the cook came. Sir, what will you have for breakfast? Oh, what did I eat yesterday? He told him. What about the day before? Told him. Finally, to cut a long story short, he agreed that he would eat bread and eggs. Okay. What kind of eggs? Poached, fried, scrambled, etc. Finally, he agreed he would eat boiled egg. Okay. How do you want the egg boiled? Hard boiled, medium boiled, rare boiled. I've never had that kind of languages before then. And I was sitting there looking at him, and he said, medium rare. Okay. How many minutes in hot water? Almost 30 minutes to choose what to eat. And I was sitting down there hungry. When finally he had finished, the cook turned to me and said, what will you eat? I said, everything you have. And what kind of egg, any kind? How much egg? As many as you can. I don't have money, but I can eat. Is there anybody here? You are not the richest in Lagos. But when they bring you food, you can eat. Do I hear somebody shout hallelujah? You may not have many clothes. Maybe you are not even able to buy a new one for Christmas. But by the grace of God, you are not naked. You are not. And not naked means you are not crazy. Because there are people who have a lot of clothes who are crazy. I mean, take the example of Daniel chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar was a king. There are all manners of clothes in the house. But when something went wrong upstairs, he was walking about naked among animals. And just in case you don't know that there's a link between nakedness and mental disorder, all you need to do is look around you. You don't even have to go to Nebuchadnezzar. There are lots of people around. They have a lot of clothes. But everything that the clothes were supposed to cover, they expose. Am I lying or speaking the truth? I mean, they go naked, practically naked, on television. And they are rejoicing. Everything that the clothes were supposed to cover, they expose. They look at you, decently dressed. You may not have many clothes, but you are not mad. And I've told you of the story of a professor. Told you that when we were at Elisha Grammar School in the 1950s, there was a madman, by the gate of the school. Anytime we wanted to really hear history, we buy him a keg of palm wine. And by the time he has taken a cup or two, we say, hey, what history do you want? British, European, from what year to what year? And then he will begin. Until we say, all right, we'll come back next time. Because he was a professor of history in the United Kingdom, then something went wrong upstairs. He still remembers all history. But when you ask him, what's your name? He can't remember. Where's your address? He doesn't know. If I ask you now, what's your name? Can you remember? If I ask you, when were you born? Can you remember? If I ask you, where's your address? Can you remember? If I ask you, do you know how to shout hallelujah? You may say, I don't have many friends. That you have Jesus. It is only in the time of need that you will know whether you have even one friend. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. Proverbs 18, verse 24 says, there is a fellow, there is a brother that is closer to you than friends. And if you're looking for a true friend, is the one who made a promise in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Oh, you don't have many friends. Have you heard the saying of the elders that if fire burns you and burns your child, you take care of your own first? Have you ever seen what the way children look when you are, those of you who have ever traveled abroad, when they begin to make announcement in the plane? If something should go wrong in the plane, certain things will drop from above. You grab one, make sure you fix it with your mouth and breathe normally. Breathing again. And then they add, and those of you with children, do your own first before you take care of the child. I know they mean well. I always wonder the way children will feel, because they are simply saying, if a matter is a matter of life and death, even mama will forget the child. But Jesus Christ said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. You have no friends, but you have Jesus. I think somebody should shout hallelujah for me. Before I was born again, I had many friends. Some of them were sailors, I don't know. And when they travel all over the world, they come back, bring me all manners of hot drinks. So, I have many friends who, whenever they are passing by, they will branch and they say, we can't pass the house of a king without saying hello to the king. And I will entertain them. And we had all manners of drinks in those days. We even create some drinks. You know, when you hear of dry martini, we have our own, something we created we call dry casusu. Don't let me tell you how we do the mixer. Then one day I got born again. One evening I had a sermon here at the Butemeta about the dangers of alcohol and the even greater danger of entertaining people with alcohol. That day we got home and every alcoholic drink in our house, we'll pour them into the gutter. And then my friends kept coming. When they have come to greet the prince, and I say, well, what will you take? We have Coke, we have Fanta, we have what kind of joke is this? You know what we drink now? Scotch on the rock, four fingers. Many of you don't know, I know those like lingo. I've been there. No, sorry, we don't serve that anymore. In less than 2 weeks, all my friends disappeared. But now I have Jesus. He can never leave me. He can never forsake me. Whether you like me or not, doesn't matter. You have Jesus. Even though you have no friend. Do I hear you shout hallelujah? Finally, so that we can have time to praise him. At least, if you don't want to thank him for anything at all, thank him for his mercy. Lamentation chapter 3, from verse 22 to 23. Lamentation 3, 22 to 23. The Bible says, it is of the mercy of the Lord that we are not consumed. It is renewed every morning. The Bible says, great is thy faithfulness. Do you know you are not alive today because of your ability or because of your strength or because of your wisdom, or because you can pray. You know that you are secure today, not because, oh, you know how to drive. Some time ago, it was in the newspapers. In Ibadan, some people were sleeping in their houses. And there was this trailer was going from Ibadan to Ilorin, and there is a turn on the road. And the driver lost control. And the trailer ran straight into a house. The people were sleeping. They were on their beds. They didn't travel, but they died on their bed. It's not everybody who went to bed who woke up. It's not everybody who didn't travel who could have an accident. The Almighty God, out of His mercy, preserved you. You go up and down. You go in the streets. If you have been reading the newspapers, you would have read all over the world, somebody would just go crazy and drive his vehicle into the market, killing several people. And here you are. The people who wanted to kill you, God said, no, this one is under the cover of my mercy. Those who said you will sleep and not wake up, God said, no, this fellow is under the cover of my mercy. It is of His mercy that we are not consumed. It's of His mercy that I can see you this morning. It is of His mercy that I will see you next year. Will somebody help me shout hallelujah? You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31. Proverbs 21, verse 31. He said the horse is prepared for the day of battle. But he says safety is of the Lord. It's only those people that God decides to keep alive who remain alive. Occasionally, God will do something to show the world that I'm preserving this fellow simply because of my mercy. I was in a town in America a couple of years ago. There was this thing called hurricane. The hurricane was approaching a particular town, and my children phoned to say, Daddy, the hurricane is coming our way. Help us. And I cried to God, and in a miraculous way, the hurricane came close to their town, but bent upwards, and then went back into the ocean. But it came so close that it brought quite a lot of rain, so that the streets were flooded. So I was visiting, and they said they want to show me something. houses for house fellowship. God created a miracle that cannot be denied to show this fellow belongs to me. I will preserve him. We are going through a very special year. There is a kind of miracle that God can give you that nobody can deny. It will not be because you're a good boy. It won't be because you're a good girl. The word of God says it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. He has been merciful to us in the past. He's going to be merciful to us in this year. May will you please praise him for past mercies? Will you, out of the very depth of your spirit, open your mouth and shout hallelujah to him? I don't need to beg you this month to praise God. If you like, praise him. If you like, don't praise him. If you like, complain to him about all the things you thought he should have done, which he didn't do, no problem. But if you are you, I will praise him beyond what I have ever planned. Because, one, I'm alive. Two, I am not crazy. Three, I can eat. They are not begging me, please take a little. And they are the Holy Ghost service. Mojupe, Mojianba, Mojupe, Holy Anugra, Tori Kisepo Kore, Holy Anugra. The song I sang this morning, glory to God in the highest, for his mercy endureth forever. So, if you like, praise him. If you like, ignore. Complain about all he didn't do last year. And say, I'm not going to praise you. No problem. But if you are a wise child, you will remember the sayings of the elders. The child who is grateful for what he's done yesterday will receive fresh ones. Me, I am going to praise him because I know this year landmark miracles are coming my way. If you praise him the way you ought to, even before this week is out, he will begin to show you fresh matter. As for those of you who are here this morning and you have not yet given your life to Jesus Christ, you know it is his mercy that has kept you alive. Because once you are dead, there is no repentance in the grave. He is aware that some of you are just fooling around. You are doing whatever you wanted. He is aware that you have heard the message again and again and you have ignored it. But he is so merciful. He has still preserved you this morning. So if you like, and you want to appreciate that mercy that has kept you alive, and so you want to really, really now come to him and surrender your life to him, I will count from 1 to 7. Before I say 7, I stand before the altar, pray for your salvation, and the Almighty God will continue to be merciful unto you. I'm counting now. 1, 2. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. You can ignore the mercy that has kept you to this moment and fail to surrender your life to Him. Three. If you are coming, you have to hurry up. You have to hurry up. You have to hurry up. Four. Five. Six. Okay, those of you already in front and those of you on the way, cry to Him. The Lord, thank you for the mercy that preserved me. Now, have mercy on me, save my soul, forgive all my sins. Become my Lord and Savior. I will serve you for the rest of my life. Go ahead, call on Him. And the rest of us, please let's stretch our hands towards these people and pray for them. Let us intercede for them and pray that the one who saved our soul, who out of His grace saved our soul, will have mercy on these people and save their souls also. Hurry up, those of you on the way. Come and cry to Him. Say, Lord, be merciful unto me. Save my soul, Lord. Forgive all my sins. Come and be my Lord. Come and be my Savior. Hurry up, hurry up. Hurry up if you want to come. The Lord is waiting for you. His mercy is still enduring for you. Come and call on Him for salvation. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. My Lord and my Savior, I bless your name. I thank you for the mercy that preserved the life of these people to this moment. And I'm asking that out of your mercy, you will please save their souls today. Forgive all their sins. Let your blood wash them clean. Please save their souls and receive them into the family of God. Beginning from today, let them serve you. Whenever they call on you, please answer them by fire and uphold them to the very end. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Now I rejoice with those of you who have given your life to Jesus this morning. I want to promise you from now on, I'll be praying for you. So I'm going to need your names, your address, and your prayer requests. The counselors will attend to you in a moment. But before you go, I want to pray for everyone first, and then we'll go with them. The rest of us, if you really believe that it is of the mercy of God that you are where you are today, stand on your feet and shout hallelujah. My Father and my God, once again I want to say thank you. Oh Lord, thank you for life. Thank you for provision. Thank you for protection. Thank you for preservation. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your mercy. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. All I'm asking, Lord, this morning is that as your children begin to praise you, as they begin to worship you, please look down in mercy, accept their thanksgiving, and like never before, bless them again. Please, Lord God Almighty, in your kingdom, don't let any of us be missing. And Lord, throughout this year, let us have cause to glorify your name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. This morning, I'm going to give you 5 minutes just to praise God on your own. If you believe that He deserves to be praised, go ahead, praise Him. If you think He doesn't deserve it, don't worry yourself. Maybe. But if you really believe that as a person, He has been very good to you, He has been merciful, He has been faithful, for 5 minutes, just praise Him. Praise the Almighty God.
Yeah, precious and dearly beloved of the Lord, it's in our greatest and utmost desire to see that your life become progressive, better, and better by the day. You see, because as scripture speaking and the Bible said, every one of them that appear to God in Zion, they go from strength to strength. The Bible said we go from glory to glory. Great grace was added to the apostles. This becomes the picture, the story of your life. When you align to what God is doing, when you hit to that which God is doing, your life becomes a product of His numerous encounters over your life. Experiences unfathomable, experiences untellable becomes your life, your testimonies, great and mighty things God begins to bring your way. And also ensure that everything He has said to do over your life, that it surely comes to pass. I want you to stay and keep hope alive, because God is still working on you. He's not done with you yet. He's not done. God cannot leave you. He has never left any man. And so He would surely visit you and bring you to the point where you truly begin to look just like Him. Keep hope alive and ensure that you love the Lord all the days of your life. Believe Him, as you've heard in the message which you've listened to by Pastor E. Adeboye, your life will surely become better. Don't forget, if you are new on our channel, we'd like you to please join our community of believers who also press into God on specific matters of their life, touching their lives, peoples, and destiny. Do well to hit the subscribe button, and don't forget to share this video to your loved ones, family, and friends. We love you so much, and it's on our part that you keep in touch with us, seeing that we all become great, mighty vessels in the hands of God. We love you. See you in the next video.